Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. I'm Sam Roberts, and with me is our co-host, Clint Ritchie. Clint, we are busy as Arkansas Baptist, along with many other disaster relief volunteers, responding to Hurricane Helene as it came through about seven states east of us, devastating the pictures that we've seen. But I am so grateful for our disaster relief volunteers, especially those from Arkansas who have responded to the call to go out and to help our neighbors in Georgia and North Carolina. Currently, let me pull up my cheat list here so I can give you a little update. I know several people have asked. We are recording this particular episode a couple of days before we actually launch it, and so we have some numbers to share with you. Through October 14th, we have had well over 100 Arkansas Baptist Disaster Relief volunteers who have been serving in Valdosta, Georgia. They have had 113 gospel presentations with individuals there, and they have seen 22 people come to faith in Jesus. Wow. There in Valdosta. In addition to that, we have a team that is currently in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, that is helping Southern Baptist of Texas with their mass feeding in that particular area. I think Randy has informed us that we're going to be in Valdosta through the first part of November, and then our units are going to make their way to North Carolina to help with the recovery efforts there. So as our listeners who are who understand Southern Baptist life, this particular ministry is made possible through the gifts of Baptists across the United States to the cooperative program. And, of course, here in Arkansas, it's cooperative program money and Dixie Jackson Arkansas Mission offering. So we are very thankful for the giving of Arkansas Baptists that help prepare our teams, but also help them be ready to deploy at a moment's notice when we're called upon by our neighboring states. I also have some updated info. I've had several people ask me about the total involvement so far with Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. So let me just give you a couple of numbers. So far in the Hurricane Helene response, we've had 3,951 disaster relief volunteers from across several state conventions. I think that I saw there were over 20 of our state conventions that have responded in sending teams. They have worked a cumulative 15,805 days. They have served 725,985 meals to survivors. They have done 1,361 cleanup and recovery work. That's going to be including chainsaw, getting those trees off of homes, as well as mud outs. A lot of flooding in that area, and so homes were flooded. That's a team that goes in. They put on protective gear. They take everything out. They clean that house up. They cut the sheetrock out. They spray it for mold. So almost 1,400 of those jobs so far. The gospel has been presented 892 times, and we have seen 96 people come to faith in Jesus.
Wow.
That's what this is about.
That's right.
Disaster relief, the whole purpose is to provide help, healing, and hope in Jesus Christ during times of disaster. And we are so grateful for Randy Garrett here in our state and each and every one of our disaster relief volunteers that have responded to the call that's gone out. Matter of fact, one thing that we just saw, I thought this was really cool, and I think there'll be a story on this in Arkansas Baptist News at some point soon. We have our first all-female chainsaw crew that's working right now in Valdosta. They are from First Baptist Church, Russellville, and we are grateful for those ladies and the work that they are doing.
And I can't imagine. I bet that's the most orderly chainsaw team. And I can't imagine everything's probably cut the same size and laid stacked perfectly. But, you know, it's always amazing that those disaster relief volunteers are ready to respond at a moment's notice. And like you said, the hope that is given. You see a lot on the news, the relief efforts, other organizations. What separates us from everybody else is the gospel. And as we're cutting trees, there's chaplains there having conversations. And I encourage folks to go back on our socials, State Convention Facebook page and others, and find the video of about a 5-minute video of a couple of the chaplains sharing a story of leading a man on hospice to Jesus.
Yeah, that's an incredible story.
Incredible story, and that could be told, 96 times, like you've mentioned already. So just encourage folks, absc-disasterrelief.org. You can stay up to date on what's happening. You can give there, and also you can know when our next regional trainings are.
Yeah, and that's an important part. I've had several people ask how they can help those that have been affected by the hurricane. And my immediate response is the best way you can help is to provide for those who are going to help. They are offering the help that people need. Anytime, Clint, I know you and your family are the same way. We get inundated with calls, with requests to help financially in different ministries. I always got that when we were pastors. Seemed like there was always another group that was asking us to give to support a ministry. And one thing that that kind of tilted the scales for me as an individual and as a pastor was the trust that I placed in that organization that was asking for the assistance. And I know that there are a lot of worthy organizations that are helping at this time with the need that our fellow citizens are having in these states. But I can think of none more worthy than what is happening in our Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. And so if you or your church are looking for a way to impact those who are hurting and in the recovery efforts, giving through your local, your state convention disaster relief units, it is a great way to invest in the kingdom. That money is used to make sure those teams are equipped, that they have what they need, and they are doing the job. So I encourage you to give and go to the site that Clint mentioned just a few moments ago. There's a donate button there. You can donate, give directly, and that money will be used for that purpose. So thank you for your giving so far. We encourage you to continue to do that. This is going to be a long, long process of recovery in these areas. Now, when we talk about Arkansas Baptist making an impact, like with DR, we always talk about those gospel conversations and professions of faith that result. That's the reason that we go. We go to meet the needs of people. But as we meet the needs of people, we share the gospel. There's an event that we just had a few weeks ago, Clint, where we are still very excited about the results that came from that. That is one day, first Saturday in October. Hey, for those who are unfamiliar with one day, we have some listeners that are not Arkansans, that aren't connected with the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, they may not know what we're talking about. Let them know what is One Day.
Well, One Day continues to be the largest multi-generational gathering of Arkansas Baptists that happens each year. And it is Arkansas Baptists coming to one location, gathering in Jacksonville this year, and then dispersing out over a 30-mile radius, usually in a local association, and doing ministry of all sorts, kinds, from door-to-door evangelism, prayer walking, to block parties and children's activity sites, senior adult ministry, car washes, laundromat, the list goes on. And, it's folks that are coming to be very intentional in serving and intentional in sharing the gospel. As we wrapped up, we had this year about 1,550 people from 111 churches. And there were 195 different ministry sites. Again, about half of those were door-to-door evangelism teams and prayer walking teams. But it's just amazing to be a part of. It's an honor to get to lead. But just to see how God continues to bless Arkansas Baptists. That's what we want to talk about in this episode, just some takeaways from the day. You know, as we talk on this podcast, wanting to be biblical, of course, two scriptures come to mind as I get to just see One Day from 5,000 feet perspective, I guess. But one obviously is the Great Commission. As people come, we talk about making disciples, the evangelism component of that, but it's also making disciples as churches bring students and parents bring children and give them a chance to serve. It is discipleship happening, and participants learning how to share their faith, being comfortable in sharing their faith, learning how to serve, doing various types of ministry, and then also proclaiming the gospel. And then I think about Paul's description of the church as being one body with many parts. And, there was 1,550 people, 1,550 distinct people. And, there were no two that were the same. And, nobody probably served the same particular way. And so as we just, as I look at that, I think, man, what a picture of the body of Christ coming together. Yeah. And, somebody may think, I didn't make a difference. My team didn't have any, professions of faith. But no, your team may have encouraged somebody that was downtrodden or helped meet another need that was there. So, it's just encouraging to see the excitement that people have on a Saturday morning prior to 8 o'clock. some of them have driven 2 to 3 hours every year.
Yeah.
And just to see them as they walk toward the stadium, the excitement that's there, they're going to serve. Some of them with people they've never met before. I was thinking about just that parking lot. You got kind of stuck direct in traffic that day. And as people got out of church vans, families got out of cars, as you saw all these people from different walks of life come together, what was that like for you?
Yeah, first of all, make sure we get – I didn't get stuck doing traffic. I was out there, and, man, there were a lot of cars coming in. And, one thing we teach about One Day in the preparation is flexibility, is being flexible.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do those things that you weren't really preparing to do.
Yeah.
And so there was a need there, and it was called two or three other guys and say, okay, you start directing them my way. I'll get them parked in an area here in an orderly way, because if you don't have that, you know what happens.
Oh, yeah.
There's chaos, and there are spaces all over the place that aren't taken. But anyway, here's what happens. Folks drive up. They've got a smile on their face. They get out of the vehicle. They've been driving for several hours. We have people that came from Northwest Arkansas. We had people from Northeast Arkansas. We had southern part of the state represented. This is an incredible event. And if you're still having a hard time kind of picture this is a mission trip in Arkansas for Arkansas Baptist. And they just come by the droves, man, to this event. But when they come, when they get out of that car, they see all the cars in the parking lot. They see people walking to the stadium, and there is that excitement that just fills the air. You see smiles on the face. They talk about how excited they are for the day, that they're thankful for the opportunity they get to serve. So it's just an incredible day of service. And it begins there in the parking lot with greeting people and having, you know, we've already worked a couple of hours at that particular point, unloading the trailer, getting everything set up for our site leaders, you know, to come by and get their materials. And also we've been there very early in the morning. And then these folks roll in and they see everything prepared and ready for them. And they're just excited to serve people. They're excited to share the gospel. And that's just a beautiful picture, like you said, of the church, of the many parts and the one body coming together to meet needs and share Jesus.
Well, let's jump into some of the takeaways, what we saw. Whether you were at one day or not, I think these things hopefully are an encouragement to you and in some sense a reminder and maybe even a motivation for some. And first thing, a takeaway I came to is that we consider one day, it's a year-long process. It is a lot of meetings, a lot of work, a lot of discussions, a lot of phone calls and such. But I think there's all the ministries that are done can be duplicated or reproduced in any church in the state of Arkansas or outside of Arkansas. There's nothing that says this is just a one-day ministry. And some of them have been duplicated. You know, we have some associations that host their own one-day mission trip in their local association. So they may select a town or a community in the association. All the churches in that association come and serve in that area. We've seen some churches do the same thing of just taking a day to serve. And matter of fact, that's what led to the creation of Serve Local a few years ago when we were forced with COVID to make an adjustment. But then for that to become part of our routine, because we were seeing people leave, gather back up with their church, and as they're driving home, talking about what they did, and then somebody would say, there's no reason we can't do this at home.
Exactly.
And so, you know, now we're seeing churches that take a day or multiple days, and they may serve in, you know, multiple areas. They may take a day and do door-to-door evangelism or canvas their entire area. You know, seeing churches do that, plus a block party and, you know, whatever other ministry that we see take place. And so as we think of that, you know, if you're listening, you were at one day, consider how you could take what you did that day and serve in your local context.
Yeah, and I would say for those pastors, leaders in churches, that maybe you're looking, how can we make an impact in our community? You know, you're trying to develop some kind of strategy for reaching your community, and you've never been involved in one day. Go ahead and put the first Saturday of October 2025 on your calendar. Bring a team, participate in the ministries that day, and I guarantee you, as you are traveling home, you're going to have the conversations that you just outlined, Clint, about, hey, we could do this, we could do this, because there's so many different types of ministries that are offered that day. I've got it on my list. I think there are maybe 16 associations that since one day began back in 2010 have taken the model that we used, and they've reproduced that to do their own association-wide one day. Some even use that that moniker. You know, they call it one day, and that's fine with us. It's meeting needs in the community, getting the gospel out into the community, and we're seeing some great successes of this. So, yeah, those ministries can be duplicated in any church. One other takeaway that I have on this is just the impact of cooperation. You know, one of those distinctives of being a Southern Baptist is cooperation. And what a beautiful picture of cooperation one day is. Churches all over the state, you know, they may have four people, they may have 40 people, you know, but they show up. And they may not work together that day as a church. They may have, you know, let's say a church of a dozen people. They may have three that are working in one ministry site, three in another site. You know, four over here, those sort of things, and they are paired with people from other churches. This is one of those processes, too, that we walk through, Clint, after people register and registration is closed for when it's closed for one day, then we take that list of registrations, those individuals, and we put them in teams according to the preferences they have on what kind of teams they want to work on. And so they are paired with people from other churches and other places in Arkansas. And we always get incredible testimonies, thanks. Man, it was so wonderful working with our brothers and sisters from, you know, this association on the other side of the state.
Yeah.
That's just great stuff. So it's a beautiful picture of cooperation.
Yeah, and it's just a reminder that the local churches are able to do more that day than they could ever do on their own.
Exactly.
You know, and as when we talk, all they have to do is provide a site leader and an assistant site leader for each ministry. So, you know, you can tell the church of 15 or 20 people, hey, you could – you know, a church of 20 could do 10 ministries that mm-hmm. day. We're going to mm-hmm. supply you with all the volunteers that you need. And so it is often a boost, a shot in the arm to the local churches. I was having a conversation with the pastor, one of our newer churches in the convention, and he made the statement to me. He said, you know, we're just a church. We average about 5 people, but you guys make us feel important.
Awesome.
And, you know, my response to him was, you are important.
Exactly.
This is a reminder, not just one person communicating that to him, but 1,500 people communicating to that pastor and every other person there that each church is important.
And that particular church could host a couple of ministries, have teams of 10, 15 folks from Arkansas coming and helping them doing what they could not do themselves.
That's right.
But with the power of cooperation, that is possible, and they see an impact for the kingdom because of that.
Yeah. Another takeaway is the importance of knowing your community and being creative to meet needs that are there. You know, we talked in one of our early episodes this year about knowing your community and knowing and loving your community. When you know what the needs are, then you can begin to be creative to meet those needs. In Jacksonville, there is a preschool that's specifically for special needs children. And one church saw the need to minister to those families, and they wanted to host a block party that targeted those families specifically. And, you know, that's a great idea. Let's start figuring out how to do that. And I thought we really have to adjust what a block party looked like. And I talked to a couple of people that focus on special needs ministry, and they said, no, do what you always do. These kids want to do those things. They want to be on an inflatable. They want to play cornhole or ring toss, mm-hmm. you know, and oftentimes in a larger context may not be able to do that safely, such as an inflatable. So it gave this church the opportunity to love on families that may not have come to just a regular block party.
Exactly.
And, you know, what really was a blessing to me is I picked specifically the team that I wanted to lead that block party to bring their trailer. And when it was over, those folks came to me and thanked me for the opportunity to serve those families because of what they
incredible.
Saw there.
How incredible. Yeah, creativity is a great characteristic of what One Day is all about. You know, several years ago, when we first started doing this, of course, when we began to talk to a local association about hosting One Day, we've got a template of, hey, here are some ministries that have been successful in the past. And of course, we've got a couple of non-negotiables that we say, regardless of what ministries are chosen, these are two that have to happen. That is prayer walking, because we believe in the power of prayer, and door-to-door evangelism. Those two have to occur. How many of those sites did we have this year?
It was over 80 of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
So over that 30-mile radius from Jacksonville, basically every street was saturated with the gospel, with prayer, with people going door-to-door, sharing the gospel with those who responded, those who answered the doors, those they met as they were walking down the street. Basically what we've done over the past few years, we've taken this box that was known as One Day to say, hey, here are the types of ministries that will come in and help your association do that day. And we've just blown the box up and said, hey, local church, you know better the needs in your community and the ways to meet those needs. So let's think creatively about how we can meet those needs. Dream with us about what you would like to see happen that maybe you haven't been able to do because you just did not have the people to do it with or the resources. Yeah. We're going to bring people in to do this. We're going to have the resources to make this possible. You know, one of those creative ideas that we saw this year, just a couple of weeks ago, was a homeless ministry that was there in Jacksonville. They offered haircuts. They had showers. They did feeding. There was a lot of things associated with that. And, you know, that's not on our box, you know. So that was an incredible ministry. And they saw individuals come to faith in Jesus. Matter of fact, there was a great testimony came out of that. You want to share that with our listeners?
Yeah. So one individual came to that ministry site and not just, you know, got a shower and a haircut and food, but as the gospel was shared and, you know, and as that person was shown respect and treated with, you know, with dignity as well, it led to that gospel conversation and led to that person being saved. And they made the statement afterwards, said a couple of days ago, I think said 2 days ago, I was planning to jump in front of traffic. Now, they were planning to commit suicide by stepping in front of traffic and said, but something, they said, something told me to wait. And so, obviously, they did not follow through with their plan, and then that's the work of the Holy Spirit, I believe, and led to that person coming there and encountering Arkansas Baptist that showed them the love of Christ. And, you know, that person realizes they may not be where they would want to be in life, you know, in their situation, but now they realize the value they have in Jesus and have entered into a relationship with Him. So that's what it's all about.
It is. Yeah. That is.
Another takeaway that's right along with that line is the importance of intentional evangelism. Mm. You know, we used to, in talking about blowing that box up, change some terminology because used to we had certain sites that we called evangelism, and then, you know, we had the other ministries, and we took that out because we wanted to communicate that everything we do is evangelism.
Exactly.
And so, you know, if it's a food distribution, before they get food, they're hearing the gospel. If it's a yard work team, there's somebody that is communicating with the property owner or the resident, telling them about Jesus. And so everything we do is evangelism, and we challenge everybody to share the gospel, regardless of what their role is or what ministry they are involved in, and not only to share the gospel, but to call people to respond. Mm. And so where we see that be very successful is in the no-sell yard sale and in the food distribution, where people are brought in and, you know, they're given a response card. It's used as registration as well, but you know, they're told, hey, this your response to this doesn't have anything to do with you shopping or you getting food. You're going to get to do that. You're going to get what you came here for. But before that, we want to tell you why we do this. We want to tell you a story that changed our life. And a clear explanation of the gospel is given and an intentional call for a response is given. And that's where we see a large percentage of salvations come because we're intentional.
Exactly. Yeah, along those lines with the no-sell yard sale, this just a little personal kind of note here. Last year in Monticello, our daughter Carrie Beth was the site leader for their no-sell yard sale there at First Baptist Monticello. Had incredible success in that particular ministry with the gospel being proclaimed by the students in their student ministry there. Lots of decisions for Christ. Well, this year in Jacksonville, our son, who is on staff at First Jacksonville, was kind of the site leader for the no-sell yard sale there. They had incredible response, too. I've got a feeling that maybe there was a little conversation and a little coaching from baby sister to big brother on how to do this thing the right way.
Yeah,
because it was an incredible event.
Another takeaway along those lines is that people still respond to the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is still good news.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And we haven't shared this number yet. We've held on to it toward the end. But
I've been waiting. I've almost slipped three or four times throughout here.
I have as well.
Okay, we're going to wait till the end.
So that day when we tallied up the records that we had of decisions, and we count, you know, decisions would be a person that would, you know, said, hey, I'm looking for a church. We recorded anything that a church could use to follow up. And it wasn't so that we could celebrate a number, but we are celebrating this number. We had recorded professions of faith as 432.
Wow.
And I don't think that's all of them, be honest. I know it's not. I've heard from some other people, I didn't get that card turned in, or I kept that card. But we know of 432 people that morning woke up without hope, and that night went to bed with hope.
All because of the power of the gospel.
That's right. And again, people were intentional in sharing, and they were intentional in calling for a response, and people respond to that.
And the takeaway is that people still respond to the gospel.
That's right.
Share the gospel everywhere you go, everything that you do, whatever event that you plan for the church, whatever activity that is there, share the gospel, be intentional. Because the gospel is still the power of God for the salvation of those who believe.
Right.
People will respond. Will everybody know? There were more than 432 gospel conversations that happened during one day. We don't record that number, but that would be incredible.
Yeah.
But there were 432 who said yes to Jesus. Now let's put that a little bit in perspective with the history of One Day.
Yeah.
One Day began back in 2010 in Pine Bluff. We had some 1,200 Arkansas Baptists that came, had 63 professions of faith. That has been typical throughout the years of the numbers. It's fluctuated a little bit. Sometimes it would be a few more in the 80s. One year we recorded about 150. But most of the time it was between 60 and 80. Sometimes was dipped down into the 50s. Last year in Monticello, and I think this is because, we saw 210 professions of faith. It was a huge jump from the year before. And I think part of that reason is, you know, here we are, we're 3-4 years into kind of some new strategy, especially this intentionality on sharing the gospel and intentional training that's provided there. And we have seen those increase. So from 210, we thought, how in the world are we going to top that?
Yeah.
This is incredible. And it was. You know, we still celebrate that number from last year. But then this year, 432, more than double.
Yeah.
So, Clint, you know that I like math. I like numbers, unless I'm dealing with the budget figures, you know, every month. Then my eyes cross. But I love math. And so I've done a little one-day math on this last one day, 2024. There are 5 hours of ministry that take place. That's 300 minutes of ministry. That's 18,000 seconds of ministry. When we divide that 432 into those seconds, here's what we find out. Every 42 seconds, someone was coming to faith in Jesus during one day.
Wow.
Every 42 seconds. Isn't that incredible?
That is.
I get goosebumps right now just thinking about that.
Wow.
And folks, we can't guarantee that when you have an event, you're going to have that kind of response. But what we can say is that people still respond to the gospel.
Right.
So don't give up on the gospel.
Yeah.
Continue to preach it. Continue to teach it. Continue to share the good news with people in your community, because they will listen and many will respond.
That's right. Yeah, just, you know, as always, we're here to serve you, here to serve Arkansas Baptist, your churches. And so if you're listening and you're thinking, how can we do this? We just need a, you know, need some guidance, need some help. We're here to serve you. So reach out and let us come have that conversation with you, help you discover some needs in your community and how you can engage through those needs and be intentional in sharing the gospel. Hey, last takeaway. And that is simply that Arkansas Baptists are great people.
Amen.
I mean, there is Amen. No other way to put that more than.
I love Arkansas Baptists.
Absolutely.
Man, yeah. I love our state.
I mean, more than 1,500 people gave up their day to serve. And it's work. Let's be honest. And, you know, you may think it's not very, very taxing to prayer walk until it's, you know, 85 degrees and there's not a cloud in the sky and you see people coming in at 11 o'clock and, you know, boy, they're tired. They've already walked, you know, 2 or 3 miles. And, but, you know, it may have been doing yard work where a lot of people dread doing that or think I've got enough to do just in my own yard. But they came with the mindset to serve and, you know, the spirit that day, the energy that was there in the stadium as we kicked off, like I said, even in the parking lot, that just sets the tone for a great day. And it's just a great characteristic. It's indicative of who Arkansas Baptists really are.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, let me add just one more thing to this. It goes along with the evangelism piece you talked about a few moments ago and how great Arkansas Baptists are as well. One thing that we have really stressed, and I would encourage you, listeners, as you're looking at events that you'll do, activities that you'll do, if you're putting together a strategy for reaching your community, for sharing the gospel in your community, the piece that many times we fall short on is that follow-up piece, Clint. And one thing that is done exceptionally well for one day is the follow-up. We do not wait until 2 weeks after the event. Follow-up begins just a couple hours after the event is over.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, churches begin to see results, you know, as early as the Sunday after with individuals coming because contacts are made with each of those 432 people who place their faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's an incredible takeaway as well, the importance of follow-up and an effective strategy for reaching your community.
Yeah.
When people respond to the gospel, don't give up on them.
That's right.
You continue until they're part of the church, they're being assimilated in the church and discipled as followers of Jesus. And that's what makes Arkansas Baptist great.
That's right.
That's why we love our state. Hey, tell us about One Day 2025.
Yeah, so mark your calendar, October the 4th, 2025, and we are going to be in Jonesboro and work with the Mount Zion Association there. Already had some discussions prior to this past One Day. I had discussion this week as well, and again, the process will really kick off with those pastors in January, and we'll start working toward October. But don't schedule anything else in your church that weekend, and maybe give your folks the weekend before and the weekend after off so that they're ready. But put that on your calendar and prioritize, and join us in Jonesboro October the 4th, and then I believe God's just going to continue to bless the faithfulness of Arkansas Baptist.
Amen. That's a great way to end this episode. We thank you for listening. Join us next time for Mission Eyes with the Mission Guys.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.